Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to share this information for you. So I'm just going to give you some preliminary information about these trials that we did. We think that moisture is obviously quite an important aspect, and this study is looking at the effect of moisture during harvesting on fibre quality. So the background of the study is we all know that the control of moisture during harvesting, storage, ginning and operations is critical in maintaining fibre and cotton seed quality. It's generally accepted that seed cotton should not be harvested above a moisture content of 12%. And certainly from an Australian perspective, and I suppose also from your perspective, as the size and spread of the cotton crop increases nationally, the pressure is increased on growers and contractors to get the cotton harvested as soon as possible, especially with adverse weather conditions on the way. And newer harvesters, certainly the new John Deere, have great horsepower, traction and fan capacity, which enables them to pick cotton when traditionally field conditions would have made harvesting difficult. So the aim of the study was initiated to determine, quantify and compare the differences, if any, of fibre quality of upland cotton harvested at different moisture levels using the JD7760 spindle harvester and then ginned at a saw gin. So these few pictures here is actually where the trial was taken, and you can see those modules in the middle there with the different moisture moistures on, and then also on your right is the actual photograph of the gin that we did these trials in. It's just a normal 4 170 Lummus gin stands with two Sentinel lint cleaners behind it, just a stock standard sort of from our perspective anyway. And this trial, for direct comparisons, what we did was we took one field with one variety, and we field was harvested, as I said, with the JD7760. The moisture was monitored and measured using the Vomax model 760, which is attached to the Vomax. And we harvested, we did a random design on the field, and we harvested it below 12%, above 12%, and then above 14%. And we harvested 14 random modules. So six of minus 12, six above 12, and only two above 14, because we realized that if we did any more above 14, the grower was probably not going to be very happy. So we produced 61 bales from this trial, and we also classed it on the HVI, APHIS, and cotton scope. Just to give you sort of an idea here on this little graph, this is the our cotton growing areas in Australia, and this trial was done over here, which is sort of in the central part of Australia, which is, and this is our major sort of cotton growing area. So the processing, this, as I said, this normal, this gin, this Lummus gin, normally produces 50 bales an hour. It's a very modern gin. It's got the Vomax on the module feed, and it's also got the Vomax on the bale, which determines the moisture, and then also with the Samuel Jackson moisture mirror, the moisture and the burners and everything is all done automatically. And so here in the picture there on your left, you can see what a module looks like with over 14% moisture. Generally speaking, in Australia, from the time that the module is harvested to when it is ginned is about 3 months, is sort of the norm. And you can see there that with the above 12%, we actually had to slow the gin down to 40 bales an hour. And as you can see in the middle photo there, we had quite a few jams, hence the reason why. And above 14%, you can see on your right, we actually had a fire on the gin stand. Most of the gins in Australia got the Argus spark detection, and we actually had to slow the gin down to 30 bales an hour. So from a ginning point of view, you know, moist cotton obviously costs a lot more on gas and et cetera, but also from a efficiency perspective, you know, with people that own gins, if you've got to slow your gin down by 20 bales an hour, that's quite a lot. So this is some of the quality data that we've got from these bales. Very interestingly, if you look at the above 12% and above 14%, the microneer values are actually higher than the below 12%, which is interesting. And when you look on your far right to the fineness and the maturity values, which is given by the cotton scope, it also seems that the cotton, which is picked with a higher moisture, is actually more mature and more coarse, which, of course, is I'm not sure about that. It's something we need to investigate further. The reasons, possible reasons for that could be, if you look at the second figure, that there's a lot more trash in that cotton. Although the burners have obviously gone a lot higher to get the trash out, there still seems to be quite a lot more trash in that cotton, which might affect the microne readings. On the other hand, although those microne readings are significant, they still are in the G5 range, so from a grower's perspective, probably wouldn't get discounted. There was no effect on length, which surprised me a bit. So concerning effect is you've got to put a lot of heat on the cotton to get rid of to dry it and to get rid of trash. It didn't actually do anything to the length, which surprised me a bit. Uniformity was also no difference. The strength wasn't affected. Short fiber content by weight, as measured by the APHIS, was. Interestingly, again, if you look at the fibrous NEPs, that wasn't affected, which again surprised me a bit. If you thought you put more heat on it, fibrous NEPs would have led to more entanglements, but it didn't, which surprised me. Perhaps because we have sentinels in this gin, perhaps. Seacoat NEPs, certainly there was an issue. You can see that the cotton that was above 12 and above 14 has certainly got more seacoat NEPs in it. And then, as I said, and the figure below, there certainly seems to be more trash left in the cotton that's of the higher temperature, although you put more heat in it. So that's something to also consider. Now, this gin is also equipped with the IntelliGin, and it was quite interesting that as soon as you put in the six round modules, and then you followed them up with the very wet ones, and you can see there on your left the IntelliGin at the bottom, that you can see straight away where the cotton was sort of on the 41 mark. And then as the wetter cotton came through, you start getting the light spotted and the spotted cottons. And you can see from the HVI grade and visual grade, what it does. So above 12, we still visually class our cotton. So it's a 52. And then the below 12 was 51, 41. And then above 14 was 42, 43. So this 61 bales that we actually produced for the grower led to a discount of $5,000. 52 in Australian, or even a 43 in Australian context, is about $120 a bale discount, which is a lot. And there you can obviously see as well that the RD and the plus B, so the brightness or the reflectance of the cotton and the yellowness, obviously as it gets more moist, the reflectance or the brightness drops, and the yellowness actually goes up. Which you can see in the HVI and visual grade. So now on the right there, I've got a photo of trying to highlight. It's pretty much visible. So what we've got in the top corner, in the left-hand top corner, we have normal cotton that we ran from the field, which was just picked normally. You can see it's fairly white. And then we put cotton from that was above 12%, and you can see it's sort of shading. It's getting more yellower. So the next three, you can see it's sort of yellow. That's sort of the 52s, and then we went to the below 12. And you can see that the white sort of comes back again, and then you can see sort of the last two on the second row, and then certainly the first three on the third row goes to 42, 43, which is the above 14%, and then we went back to normal again. So you can see just by looking at the cotton, you can see it. It's from an Australian perspective, our base grade is 31, and our cotton that goes into China has got to be a 21. I mean, this is the serious business. The other thing that we also did was we looked at the seed quality. Yesterday, during one of the lectures, somebody was talking about that the quality of seed cottons is important as well. And so, if you can see there, if you look at the condition, the very scientific terms there. But normally when you have a cotton seed, you can crack it, you can break it, it makes a nice cracking sound, and that means it's all right. But you can see that the cotton was above 12%, and certainly the cotton was above 14%. You could just squeeze it and it would just disintegrate. There was just nothing there. And you can imagine if that goes into your seed shed, cotton that's wet like that, what that does. And actually one of our gins this season actually had their seed shed go up due to the fact that there was a lot of wet seed cotton in there, so just a highlight on that. The residual lint again, it surprised me a bit. There wasn't any difference, so 8.5%, which is very good. And then we also took the seeds and we actually sent it to our cotton seed people to look at you know, the seed vigor index, to just have a look and see, well, you know, if we wanted to use the seed again for planting, would it be anything worth? And you can see that these are the sort of stock standard tests. They do 4 days after germination, 7 days, and then also cool, where they put into refrigerating. And my understanding is that to get the seed vigor index, you take the 4 day and the cool, and you add them together, and you get the value. So you can see the above 12% was 11, and above 14% was 1, and the below 12% was 124. So there's a huge significance there as well. So this seed, you couldn't send it out to be crushed for oil or use it for cattle feed, and you can also not use it to reuse it again. So basically the seed, if you go over 12%, the seed basically is worthless. And seed, I think at the moment, is what, around $300, $325 a ton. It's a big loss if you can't do anything with it. So the conclusions, I didn't speak much about the gin turnout, but surprisingly there was only very slight differences in the gin turnout. There were no significant differences in the length, uniformity or strength. There were significant differences in the short fibre content and micronet. Obviously, as you saw, the major thing was that there's significant differences in colour and trash. No significant differences in fibrous neps. However, there are significant differences in seed coat neps. And obviously, as I've mentioned, there's issues with seed quality. So the further work that we want to do is we have, similar to our friends at USDA at New Orleans, we also have miniature spinning capacity. So we actually want to take some of these samples and put them through our miniature spinning capacity and produce a 20 test yarn or a 30 NE yarn and have a look and see what effect this moisture has actually on the yarn quality. It'll be interesting. And then to take it further and knit it up into a knitted sock and actually to dye it and see what happens. And with that, I'd just like to acknowledge obviously CSRO, the grower who allowed us to plant this farm and cost them a bit of a discount, and the gin that helped us, and the classing facility that did the classing, and then also the staff at CSRO for their technical assistance. So with that, I thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Annette? Steve?
About 3 months, yes. Yes, yes. Yeah. So generally speaking, we find that in our gin yards, and this afternoon at the next session, I've got a few photos you can see. But generally speaking, our gin yard would have cotton there for about a month. So it'll be 2 months on farm and about a month in gin. We work differently than you. It's up to the grower to transport the cotton to the gin. It's got nothing to do with the gin. So we work slightly different than what you guys do. Yeah. Yes. Well, it's what it has is once the module is formed, and once it goes onto the back, you've got the Vomax at the back that we measure. We also use the handhelds as well, and we also obviously measure the temperature and humidity as well, which I haven't put in there just to verify. And so the very wet cotton we did early in the morning, and the below 12% we did at noon, obviously. Well, it's on the Vomax, it's the microwave.
Vomax.
Yes, Vomax system. So we have Vomax on the module feeder, Vomax on the bow with a moisture mirror in the middle. And that.
So took the average.
Yeah, so basically what it does, the moisture measure, it's all automatic. I mean, you can manually adjust it, but it's all automatic. So once the cotton comes in, it sees it's too wet, the burners will go up, the burners will go down. It's all automated.
Thank you.
Good, thank you.